Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Elevated Places Network and our Thursday night presentation, Ask Minister Ava, with your host, myself, Sister Ava Muhammad, our co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, and legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. We are all so happy that we are able and blessed to be here. Once again, we thank Allah in the person of Master Fard Muhammad for raising among us the exalted Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and for their messenger Messiah among us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I am feeling so blessed and so happy with all of the blessings that each and every one of us receive. These are troubled times. These are trying times. But as the minister's message in this week's final call is entitled, we must depend upon Allah and ourselves. And this is a great issue of the Final Call newspaper, covering on the front page the powerful lecture that was delivered 2 weeks ago by our dear brother, my colleague on the executive council, Brother Dr. Wesley Muhammad, whose lecture was entitled When All Else Fails. That is from a statement by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that is absolutely universal truth. Islam comes when all else fails. And so, of course, make sure you get the current edition of the Final Call newspaper. That's volume 41, number 44. The date on it is the 9th of August, 2022. And the COVID section on depopulation is power-packed. I can tell when people read it and don't read it by their conversation. I thought about Brother Don Enoch, Brother Terrence, telling us about the minister saying you don't read the newspaper.
right.
You can tell by conversation. And he said, he's like, yes sir, I know, I need to get on it. But I promise you, if you read this Final Call newspaper, but especially the messages from the Christ and the Messiah, and if you read the depopulation agenda section, if you read Brother Minister Jibril Muhammad, Mother Tynetta Muhammad, you will be formidable, and you will not equivocate when it comes to standing on the right side of God's position, which is with Minister Farrakhan. So with all that said, oh, my God, we have a great, great, great program tonight, basking in the success of this past week. Weekend's events, I think, which began Thursday, Brother Terrence. And
yes,
it was just a powerful event, the training conference, and it culminated a visit and words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it was he who urged Brother Aziz and the organizers to do this in person. You know, let's move away from these virtual events. And, of course, he initiated that back in February with Savior's Day. And in the great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That was new and different. And I don't want to talk more because I'm not the one that was there. We have Brother Terrence, and we have some wonderful guests who are joining us tonight. Student Minister William Muhammad and Student Captain Brother Charles Muhammad, along with my illustrious co-host, who I understand played a great role in this weekend, and they are going to do a special recap of the NOI National Training Convention. And, of course, those of you who are among our listeners, if you were there and want to share and weigh in on this historic event, we invite you to click the number one on your phone. When you click one, you are in the queue for our producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, to open the line for you at the appropriate time. And with that, I'm going to toss the mic to Brother Terrence Muhammad to take us further into tonight's program. Assalamu
alaikum,
Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to do this. And I think Brother Charles is on. Just remember to press. Yeah, press number one, Brother Charles. I hear that you're listening. Press number one so you can get into queue that one of our guests is coming on. But yes. One of the things, Dr. Ava, is this is absolutely incredible. So let me just back up before I get too excited about this show, because to just have left the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan I was blessed to see him at Savior's Day, as we always prepare for him to come in and leave. And as he was leaving, I got that nod, look, and get into the car. But just to be able to speak words to him, it just okay, let me bring it back. So this month, Dr. Ava, is Black August. This month is considered Black August, and we usually celebrate Black August for our political prisoners. And it started in 1979 in California, and it honors the cultural most resilient freedom fighters, people who've risked it all because they see what the system has done to our communities and refuse to allow it to happen one more day. So that is actually the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but we know that there are actual political prisoners that are locked up, being locked up. I think about the MOVE organization. I think about the Black Panthers, Mumia, just left his mind, Jamil Alameen, all of the people that's been locked up under these political prisoners because they fought against this system. This is, what we celebrate in Blackness. And so that month is going on. And then also I'm going to let our sister attorney, Pamela, talk more about it. But today is a good day. Today is a very good day to arrest the killers and murderers of Breonna Taylor. So we know that arrests were made, but I know our sister will give us more about what went on with our sister and the arrest for Breonna Taylor. And we still got hashtag Free Britney. We hear what's going on in Russia. She went to trial. And I'm going to see what America's going to do. I'm going to see what America's going to do since they found her guilty and trying to give her 9.5 years. But we're going to see what America's going to do. They should have brought her home long time ago, but we're going to see what happens now. Because I think, I just know there's something bigger and deeper behind all of this. And we're just going to watch and see how it plays out. Before I go to anything else, I also want to make sure that everybody continues to support not only this program, to make sure that you share and make sure you tell people and get them online and call in and listen and go back to old blog radio broadcasts and check us out. But you can also go to MinisterAva.com. Check out her website, MinisterAva.com, because the stuff that, as she said, we don't always read the final call. I know y'all haven't gone through the website and looked at everything and got everything off the website. So go look at it again. Go to MinisterAva.com. Also, join us tomorrow night, study group. Go to study.noi.org, studynoi.org, and enjoy the great study group that happens. And then come back, as we talked about, Dr. Wesley delivering a powerful lecture. But come back and come hear more life-giving teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at noi.org, noi.org, Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. So, Dr. Ava, this past weekend, I shout out to Brother Abdul Aziz Muhammad and Mama Aziza and the whole National Training Conference staff. The staff is amazing. We had hurdles, we had obstacles, and we jumped over them, we rolled them around, and we kept moving. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. And everybody, Sister Ava, was like, happy Savior's Day. We just couldn't hold it because it felt like Savior's Day. For like a mini Savior's Day, everybody, the believers, was seeing the energy and the spirit was strong. The love was strong. The camaraderie was strong. It was absolutely amazing. The awards banquet, absolutely amazing. Shout out to Sister Carlette out of Chicago, was my co-host for the awards banquet. Shout out to Student Minister Nuri, Minister Ishmael, who gave great words at a mental health panel on that Friday. All the student captains, the supreme captain, the executive council. Sister Naima, I'm like, what in the world is going on in Milwaukee? And that's why these guests that are going to come on later are going to talk about the significance of Milwaukee. But the beauty of, as you said, Dr. Ava, it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that asked and you know, gave that initial push to our brother Abdul Aziz, the Student Assistant Supreme Captain and affectionately GM, Grand Master, called GM. And he was like, hey, when is the national training? And that meant, when are we going to have it? But to have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan travel over 3-something hours to be there and then get in his car and go back, ain't nothing but love. Ain't nothing but love. And I just got to say, I don't care how many times I have been in his presence, been on the detail, been able to have a conversation, as soon as the Supreme Captain nudged me over and said, the minister wants to speak to you, and he spoke, he gave me some beautiful words, I immediately left his presence and went in the back, Dr. Ava, and just broke down crying. Because just to be in the presence of the Messiah is not something light, or I don't take it light every time that I'm blessed to be in his presence. But the beauty of me breaking down, one brother saw me and said, Brother Terrence, are you okay? Because he didn't know what had happened. Are you okay? Next thing you know, they sent the medic for me. A sister came around the door, daughter, she needed to take my blood pressure. I said, no, I'm okay. I just spoke to the minister. But it was just so much love and so much care atmosphere that even when someone thought something was wrong, that people were right on it immediately to take care of the believers. And that's the kind of spirit and love that was generated this past weekend in Milwaukee from the time I touched down in Milwaukee to the time that I left Milwaukee. It was so beautiful, and I know we're going to have some more information given about some things that happened in Milwaukee. So I'm excited. You know, there is no way not to be excited when you have been in the presence of the Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as you saw, Dr. Ava, for him to stand and sing the fight song, I can just drop the mic and turn it back over. I could just drop the mic and turn it back over to you. You only knew more than people understand. They understood his condition, and he stands up. And it's a declaration really to the enemy. Yeah, you tried. And you literally, the doctor reports, you tried to kill me. I'm going to talk about the seeds that you put in me and obliterated my prostate. And I stand to sing and lead my nation in the fight song at a martial arts conference and national training. Man, look, Back to you, Dr. Ava. Let me stop. Back to you.
So
much more.
And I loved when I watched it, I loved when you said the you have to be physically trained and prepared, but the greatest war you will fight is with yourself.
Yes.
And
oh,
this
did
is
he
why
hit me with
again,
that?
We invite you all to come out on Friday evening, either
yes.
in your cities where you're holding the study group in person, or join us on our Zoom presentation from National Headquarters of the study course. We are in number 19, The Knowledge of God. We just completed part one, Who is God? And tomorrow night we begin part two, The Key to the Kingdom. And so we invite everyone to take part in getting the proper training and arming themselves to fight the greatest war, which is with ourselves.
That's
and with
right.
that, we're going to move quickly further into the program because we do have a wonderful program, and I'm so excited about the guests that we have. But before that, we have a lot to be brought up on, as you mentioned, in the world
That's
of
right.
law. And there is
That's
none
right.
better equipped to share with us each and every Thursday night. And in addition to that, this brilliant attorney hosts her own program on Elevated Places Network, A Time for Justice. And I'm speaking of none other than Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And I want to now pass the mic to our sister because there has been some news in the legal world. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava and Brother Terrence. How are you all tonight?
Oh, alaikum
salam. Great.
Great to hear your
yes.
voice.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. And I have to say, you know, all praises are due to Allah for you mentioning our show, A Time for Justice. And we thank you for the Elevated Places Network giving us the opportunity to try to bring legal news to the listeners, and we just thank Allah for that opportunity and encourage everyone to listen on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here at the Elevated Places Network. Yes, ma'am. So I wanted to mention those two stories really fast that you all brought up, and the first story is about our sister Brittany Griner. And I'm going to take this article out of the Washington Post, which, as we have heard, Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9.5 years in Russian prison on drug charges. This is a story written by Robin Dixon and Mary Elushina. And it appears that our sister, who we know, they say a small amount of cannabis oil was found in her bags. Well, today, a Russian judge handed down what they claim is a harsh, or what we're saying is a harsh 9.5-year prison sentence for our sister Brittany Griner. And that, you know, it's my understanding that 10 years was the max, right? And so she got 9.5 years,
yeah.
And, you know, she was also fined 1 million rubles, which that they say is $16,590 US. And the thing is that our sister Brittany Griner, according to this article, she pled guilty last month to carrying the vape cartridges with the cannabis oil into the country. And so this apparently happened after she landed at the airport in Russia. And, you know, of course, our sister begged for leniency. And, again, today she was given 9.5 years. According to the article, she received 8 years on one count and 18 months on another count. And
mm-hmm.
the judge took into account that she had been in prison for 6 months. And so that's her 9.5 years with our sister, as we saw in the news, saying that she loves her family as she was escorted out of the courtroom in handcuffs. And I took that out of a Washington Post article. The next important story, as Brother Terrence brought up, is the federal charges that were announced today in the killing of our sister Breonna Taylor. The four Louisville officers were charged, and these officers are Joshua James, Brett Hankinson, Kelly Goodlett, and Kyle Meany, and they were charged with federal civil rights violations for the killing of our sister. As we know that the Louisville, Kentucky Police Department shot 22 times into the apartment of Griner, striking our sister, apartment of Taylor, Breonna Taylor, and they struck our sister Breonna Taylor 6 times, and the fatal shot was in her chest. I just kind of wanted to recap the facts on that, and this happened on March 13th, 2020, and it was at 12:45 a.m. in the morning when they issued that no-knock warrant and came into our sister Breonna Taylor's apartment, killing her. Now, it must be noted that the officers that are charged with this federal indictment, only Brett Hankinson was at the scene. So Brett Hankinson has been charged with the two civil rights violations of excessive force and, you know, dangerous weapon charge of some sort. And his charge, according to the news, it says that it carries potential life sentence. The other officers, Louisville officers, that's Kelly Goodlett, Kyle Meany, and Joshua James, they're charged with falsification of evidence. Now, let's see, Joshua Janis and Kyle Meany, according to the indictments that were online, they're charged with using affidavits obtained, and these affidavits were used to obtain warrants. And they're saying that these affidavits contain false and misleading information. They knew they lacked probable cause. They omitted important information. And they have counts. Let's see, they got count one, this warrant case. They've got count two, which is a conspiracy case to falsify documents, because both prior to with the warrants that they knew contained false information, and then they also got charged for covering up. So then you got account three of falsification of records and account four of falsification of records. And I just wanted to end by including that Goodlett, Officer Goodlett, along with one of the other officers, they're charged with this issue of falsifying the evidence, but potentially whether or not this no-knock warrant was even ever requested by the SWAT team, because apparently there was some lies told to an FBI agent that the SWAT team had authorized or said that there needed to be a no-knock warrant, and in reality, that wasn't true. So they've got a count of lying, false statements to the FBI investigators, and that's Officer Kyle Meany, who was part of that. So, you know, this is very interesting, and I just, you know, kind of wanted to be a little specific with some of the details that we're seeing in this case, so we could know what's going on, as there have been the four federal indictments regarding our sister Breonna Taylor. And I just want to say again, the one regarding Mr. Hankinson, who was the shooter, who unconstitutional force, his sentence, it's possible life sentence. And the other three officers, they carry possible sentences of 20 years potentially, or 5 years in some of their cases. So that's what I'm reading, and we're going to continue to follow this story. So thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Sister Pamela. And you know, you can't help but think of Breonna Taylor's name as we watched last week the historic flooding, the storms in eastern Kentucky.
That's right.
The meteorologists were describing this storm. They called it stubborn. And I always find it interesting because, you know, we know that the God's active will is always involved in the weather. You know, he has an active will and he has a permissive will. Nothing is outside of the power and control of the gods. So there are two kinds of actions that occur, those that he allows to happen and those that he causes to happen. And we're taught that weather, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the weather is always the result of the active will of God. And the description of the system, which as again they called it stubborn, and it's interesting how you notice the weather is always given human traits and characteristics. And they said this storm front was just draped across the region for several days, and they said it formed what they call training thunderstorms, where these storms just move back and forth like a train over the same region for a short period of time. And they dropped the heaviest rain that's been dropped in over 100 years. And the engineering that is in place dates back to the 1960s and 70s. And they don't have anything to deal with the type of rain and flooding that they have experienced recently. And I think they said over 14 to 16 inches fell in less than 5 days. And even as we speak, they are still recovering bodies of those who lost their lives. And so
wow.
Absent there ever being any connection, you don't see ever in America's media any connection between her behavior, her planning, her thinking, her actions. You see no connection between what they call nature, Mother Nature, but is actually the will of God. And there's just a stubborn, you want to call somebody stubborn, it's the stubbornness of this country. And her resistance to, there's no remorse, there's no regret, there's nothing. And forget about any type of spirit of atonement for the way she treated her slaves and the way she continues to treat us, and now the way she treats her own people. And that's another thing Minister Farrakhan and his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, continually warn us of. They don't treat each other right. So how can we expect to receive justice at their hands? But this this is of some measure of relief that these people are being called to account in some way, shape, or form. When I look at the beautiful picture, I just looked at it again today of the day she got her training completed and received all of her certification. I'm talking about Breonna, because she was an EMT, an emergency medical technician. And
right.
She's standing there on the stage in her little uniform with a bouquet of flowers. And to just snatch her life away like that, not a life that you gave her, but the life that Allah gave her. And this has been done repeatedly. And then in the case of the sister in Russia, so, you know, I forgot until Sister Attorney mentioned she's already done 6 months. You know, so basically you gave her the maximum. You gave her the maximum sentence.
That's right.
You know, for this offense, and what is the point of a guilty plea if I'm going to receive the maximum sentence? And I know there was all of this talk in the news until Sister Attorney made me aware. I didn't know she was sentenced today, but talk from this decrepit Biden administration about a prisoner exchange and all that. So I don't know if that's still in the works. Sometimes this can be something, and for her sake, I hope it is, that they're playing something out, that the Russian government wanted to go through the whole process and show, you know, we're serious and blah, blah, blah about our laws, and perhaps there is still some latitude. Well, there's always latitude for this to happen. But as you see in the COVID section in Dr. Ridgely's article, which we headed, A Nation Divided, U.S. Government is Causing Confusion Over COVID-19. You have employees of the FDA, employees of the CDC, who are complaining and upset about what they know is going on the inside. And we thank Allah for our sister Tamra Muhammad, fourth generation Nation of Islam Muslim, COVID ICU nurse. I mean, if you don't read anything else, you should read that article or pull up from the archives when she came on this program and was interviewed, and she exposed everything that's going on with reference not only to this pandemic, but with reference to the inability of this healthcare system to take care of anyone, you know, at any time. But Sister Attorney, did you want to make any further comments?
Sister Ava, I just wanted to clarify the charges of the four officers. I mistakenly said that Goodlett is the one who was a part of the FBI false information, and really it is Goodlett and James who are charged with conspiracy to falsify the search warrant and cover up their actions afterward. And it is Officer Meany who is accused of falsely telling FBI agents that a provision in the affidavit seeking a no-knock warrant was included at the request of the Louisville SWAT team. So I just wanted to make sure that it was correctly said. It's Meany. He's the one that talked about the no-knock warrant. And
yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. So
thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Wa alaikum salam. And so we've come to the bottom of the hour, and now we're going to go back, and I'm sure Brother Terrence has gathered himself. Because I'm telling you, and I think it was Student Minister William that mentioned, yeah, you had a very extensive role this weekend. And there's a bit of coverage in the current final call, but they'll do the extensive coverage next week because, of course, the event went through Sunday and there was not time to do the coverage in this week's edition. In fact, just like you'll see some beautiful photos of the fashion weekend.
Right.
The Chicago Modest Fashion Week.
The Karma, yes.
Just amazing. And, of course, we also, you can always come to Elevated Places for the 411 because we also had our and this thing is off the chain. This fashion modest fashion week, and designers in the nation, beyond our faith community, and designers from all over the world, and the Native American brothers and sisters with their everyone modest, but in that beauty and opulence that only original people can project. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, we had Brother Don Enoch, Brother Sean, Brother Attorney Collins, our beautiful sister Captain Nuseva out of the southern region, who turned out the Grammy Awards. Not only with Brother Sean walking away with a historical award, but with Sister Nuseva and her display of beauty and modesty. So now we're going to continue,
right?
Because it was just an overwhelmingly successful, powerful event. And I'm going to turn this over to you, Brother Terrence, this segment. But I want to say, before we go into it, that I have known Student Minister William and Student Captain Charles for decades. And I'm glad that attention was brought to the city of Milwaukee. I have spoken in that city probably more times than any other city, maybe except one or two that are outside of Chicago. One of the ones I constantly have visited and been blessed to be invited to visit is the city of Milwaukee. And at some point, I want to share what I shared with the Executive Council yesterday and what Brother Student Minister Williams sent me, because let us not overlook the number we're talking about. This is Muhammad Mosque number 3, okay? Number 1 is Detroit. Number 2 is Chicago. This is the third city. Okay? So there is a history here that is so rich. And this city is very significant in the eyes of Master Farid Muhammad. Okay? And so I don't, you know, in Islam, we don't do coincidences. Stuff doesn't just happen. And it's fascinating to me, and it's significant to me that this happened where it happened. And it's the first large in-person, largely attended in-person event, because Savior's Day, while it was broadcast worldwide, we limited the attendance to the national headquarters, the national center, and the event was a one-day event. And this is our first return to a multi-day event that was attended by a large number of persons. And so I just want to say how happy I am to have my brothers on. I love them and their families. And with that, this is a group of believers. By the way, one of the most effective town hall meetings we had during Project Separation was in Milwaukee, because of the quality of the panel and the things that we learned about the history of Wisconsin and Milwaukee and slavery. Yes, slavery. It was a slave state. Yes, it was. All this, the minister's been blowing the lid off that, but I know me with my degree in history, I didn't know that this was in effect a slave state, but a very, very powerful black community historically, and our believers there exert a great deal of influence, and that's one of the reasons this event went off the way it did. So, Brother Terrence, I've got the mics open for Brother Minister, Brother Student Minister, and Brother Student Captain.
Man, Dr. Avery, you just laid a base that really kind of lays it sets the tone. because the reality is that we can talk about the national training, but we got to talk about Milwaukee. When I heard, and I was speaking to student Captain Brother David, and he was telling me some stuff, and I was speaking to Brother Charles, student Captain Charles, and then me and Brother William were having a conversation, I'm like, my mind was blown. It's almost like you at a believer's meeting and Brother Saad starts going in the scriptures and showing you what you just saw the minister do. And you're like, hold up, that's right there. That's what Milwaukee was this past weekend. And they're going to go into it. And I just think that when we was looking outside of Chicago for a city, I think, you know, it was a couple other cities that had a chance to get it. You know, Brother Charles and some other folks that was with him, Sister Charlotte, they snatched it. I'm talking about no other city had an opportunity to get it. They snatched it and crushed any possibility of competition. And I'm saying that very lightly because the work, and let me just be very clear. I'm an activist. I'm on the ground. I talk to people. I make relations in real relationships, not, you know, try to make real relationships. And the things I saw this past weekend, there are real relationships that these brothers and others have developed in Milwaukee to honor and allow us to come into the red state of Milwaukee to put up the star and crescents on banners on the walkway between the hotel and the convention center, to have the police escort from the minister and some other stuff they're going to talk about at the rewards ceremony. There was some groundwork laid by the believers in that city. And as you said, Dr. Ava, I think another caller going to call in and talk about Milwaukee and what Milwaukee was to God himself and the Most Honorable Elijah Moore. What kind of state, what was number three to this? And we having a national training. There's some key things that I didn't know until I got to Milwaukee. So I just want to thank the brothers, the student minister, because they had a task. Brother Charles, he had a task. And this brother Charles, he's quiet, but he's a worker. And he was there day one at the first national training. So he's been there with Brother Abdul Aziz the 27 years of the training. I just came on in 2013. I'm just to be honest. I'm hosting, but I just came on in 2013. And so I just thank them for the work. So we just going to bring them on because I know they got an analysis. They got a story to tell about Milwaukee and the city. And Sister Ava, you've been there, so you know what it is about Milwaukee. So welcome, Student Minister William to the show and Student Captain Charles, both Muhammads, who asked Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, sir? And Sister Ava, assalamu alaikum to you and
your
audience. I'm very honored and happy that you would have us on your program.
Oh, it's an honor for you all to take time from your schedules to be on and talk about this historic event. And we just want you all to begin with where you desire to begin.
Well, I can't really stop smiling, and I can't come down off of the high from all of the believers that came down to Milwaukee. And I'm not sure about the overall history, but I don't think that we have ever had that many believers in Milwaukee. And so I was so, I felt so blessed to be a part of it. I felt blessed that Allah arranged the affairs that it would be in Milwaukee. And I'll just say from my perspective how that happened. And then Brother Charles was, he was much more involved, but just with Brother GM, Grandmaster Aziz, Abdul Aziz Muhammad explained to me, it's because they were going to have the national training in Chicago at the Rosemont, you know, because that's generally where the national training is held. And they had gotten all the arrangements and agreements, And according to Brother Aziz, when it was time to sign the contract, there was that clause in there that all of the participants were to be vaccinated, right? And he said, I can't sign this. And so
that's right.
That was a deal breaker, right? And so now he's wondering where to go next. And I think that Brother Charles, I think you should take it from there, because you were really integral and you were a part of that part of the decision making.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Assalamu alaikum, Saseva, Brother Terrence, and Student Minister William. I just would like to first say, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. Brother, I'm like you, Brother Terrence, and Student Minister William. I am still lit, as the youth would say, and I put myself in that category, in mind. I am
right.
So excited. I want to first thank you, Sister Ava and Brother Terrence, for inviting me to make me a part of this beautiful show that you have. I want to first say that. I want to thank my student supreme captain. I want to thank, of course, the assistant supreme captain, Brother Aziz Muhammad. I want to thank my regional captain, student regional captain Dwayne. I want to thank all of the FOI and the MGT from the central region that helped host, even though we were the host city, it is the central region that helped in hosting the National Training Conference. I want to also thank the National Training staff. Brother GM put together a beautiful training staff that assisted. We all worked so beautifully together this past week. I am so excited about the national training and that I've been there from the beginning. I remember when it started, it was only maybe about 22 to 25 of us training in the park in Chicago. And GM, Brother Aziz, put a word in my ear, and he said this to me 27 years ago. He said, Brother Charles, never miss an opportunity to train. Those were his words. Those words sunk in with me, and I did what I could with Allah's help to make every national training that I possibly could. I was so excited this past week because of the national training being held here in Milwaukee that because I saw how it all started from the beginning. And to have the number of people that showed up and showed out, it just, I was just thrilled and from it all. Because the theme of the whole thing was the renewing of the mind and building our body and strengthening our spirit. That was our theme. And so how it came here was that when GM said to me, would we possibly consider Milwaukee? I said, it's done. And then he began to tell me about the other cities that he was considering. And I said, with all due respect to you, Brother Aziz, don't even consider the other cities. Matter of fact, I don't even want to know their name. I don't even want to know the name of the city, because to give me the name will give them energy. I'm telling you, it's going to be held right here in Milwaukee. So we got busy. So I said all that to say, to you all on this call, that I, for over 30-plus years of being in the nation, I had wanted this from the beginning. I was asking Allah, and I had also asked Jim over the years, not just when he extended the invitation, but I asked him, would he please somehow consider Milwaukee for the national training because I felt that it would be appropriate. But, you know, Allah's the best knower. He's the best planner. And so Allah put it in the hands. It was in Allah's hands. And here we are 27 years. It took 27 years, but we're there. And so that's kind of the gist of I went in on GM. I mean, I had a pretty interesting conversation with him. I said this like this to him. And I don't mean to stretch out because Brother Terrence said I'm somewhat quiet. Well, Brother Terrence is just getting to know me. He's seen me over the years, but however, you know, I will talk a little bit. And so I'm gonna share this. I want to share this part with you because when Jim or Brother Aziz was telling me, well, Brother Charles, we have to consider other cities. I said, Jim, don't make me hurt you. Do I have to come to Chicago? And do we have to tumble on the mat? And if so, only one of us is going to get up. He said, well, brother, you're talking awful bold, Brother Charles. I said, well, you know, I am because I'm on the phone. So anyway, he said, yes, sir, brother. He said, yes, sir. So, and we just got started from there. So I'd like to thank, you know, Sister Charlotte and so many others. I can go on and on, but I'm gonna flip it back to you, Student Minister William, and if there's any questions that anybody have for me, or if there's any more that anyone would like to ask me, I'm here to answer any questions that anyone may have. So, Student Minister William, I'm flipping it back. I'm following it back in your court.
I just want to make 2 points following Brother Charles. What you said about the believers of Muhammad Mosque number 3 and the quality of the believers and the influence that they have is very, very true and significant. So one of the believers is Sister Charlotte X, and she is the vice president of Visit Milwaukee Human Resources. And so she, when Brother Charles spoke with her about the national training, she went to work, and she began to put together a package that an offer to our dear brother GM, an offer that he just could not refuse, right? about a month ago, I guess it was, she arranged a meet and greet, and Brother Grandmaster brought down his staff or a large portion of his staff. And there were 3 meetings. There was a meeting that we had at Visit Milwaukee with the sheriff of Milwaukee County, Ernell Lucas, who is a brother and loves the nation, with the police captain of that district. And, of course, we have a black police chief in Milwaukee now, and also with others from the county and other officials. From there, we went and we did a tour of the facilities, of the hotels and whatnot. And then the last meeting was a meeting with the newly elected black mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Brother Cavalier Johnson. And so she arranged these things. And it was just an overwhelming welcome. The mayor was ecstatic. All of the officials were ecstatic. They basically at that time, even before we had it, begged Grandmaster to just shift all since this is the first time that the national training was actually done in another city. And by the way, it was also opened up to the city that it be something that they do from now on. And so that's the kind of acceptance the leadership here in Milwaukee gave the national training, Nation of Islam, and of course, Grandmaster Abdul Aziz Muhammad. And this is very significant, and this is a victory for Islam in Milwaukee. And the reason why I say that is because when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan visited Milwaukee in 2015, for you all who remember, the minister was on the tour as we were preparing for the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. Sheriff Clark at that time went on Fox News and said that the minister was a spawn of Satan.
Yeah.
And he threatened the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that if he was to bring the same rhetoric that he was spreading throughout the country, that he would be arrested. So he created this hostile environment, and that was on the county level, right? And so as it got close to the minister coming and whatnot, and we, you know, the police department didn't want to help maneuver the minister around the city, and the sheriff's department, they were very hands off as well. And so there was not the acceptance of Allah's servant that any city should have in this city. But this time, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came, and he just came, as Brother Terrence said, he just came, drove 3 hours, came, and then left, giving us a wonderful, beautiful, powerful message. The minister had a police escort because it's a totally different atmosphere. It's a totally different acceptance that the city has of the Nation of Islam. And we thank Allah for that victory, and we pray that Allah will allow us to take advantage so that we can be of greater help to the city of Milwaukee. And so this was a great victory for Islam. Brother Jim opened up the workshop to the city. We were working with the Office of Violence Prevention. It was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, and really just the beginning of now a working relationship. Because Milwaukee, like Chicago and every major city in this country, the black community suffers from violence and self-destruction and many ills that, of course, when all else fails, as Brother Wesley's message was and as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, Islam comes as an answer. So we pray that this was the beginning of that, of us offering solutions to solve the many problems of Milwaukee.
So Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir.
I need to jump back in here a second because, you know, I don't know they're still on the high. I'm gonna bring them down because I got to give them a bigger shout out than they're laying out. They're doing a very calm and sweet kind of conversation. Let me tell you some stuff that happened that they did and they caused to happen. The spirit was so high, Dr. Ava, that I'm gonna tell you honest. I got in Thursday. You know, I'm gonna work 6 a.m. at the convention center, walking. So Sunday morning. You know, because we're an hour behind, so I'm an hour ahead, still on the East Coast. So Sunday morning, I'm like, oh my God, I'm hurt, my body hurt. Okay, I ain't bring a suit, so I'm hurt. But I said, no, you need to get up. So I rolled out of bed, put on some clothes, and I said, no, I got to go to the mosque. Got to go. I can't be in Milwaukee and not go by the mosque. So I showed up at the mosque, Dr. Ava. Do you know that mosque was packed, like just people just everywhere, packed. Like the believers showed up and said, we going to the mosque. I don't care where we came, we going to the mosque. But let me tell you about the mosque, Sister Ava, on Sunday. Brother Nuri tore it up. Brother Nuri,
yes, sir,
was the main lecturer. He tore it up. But not only tore it up, then we wanted to help Milwaukee in the mosque. So the believers start raising money, Dr. Ava. You had folks from California. You had folks from Florida. You had folks from Boston. You had folks from North Carolina, believers from all over our nation. And then when the money was raised, I want the enemy to hear this. Somebody dropped $1,000 for Milwaukee. Another person dropped $300. Then her husband said, I'm going to drop $300. They were just dropping money to help Milwaukee, to help the city, and the believers were happy giving and giving money after Nuri spoke and he did his book signing. But in that mosque, you can feel the spirit. You can feel the energy. The guests were happy. Everybody was excited. And I was so happy to go to the mosque. But what they haven't told you, and Brother William, Brother Charles got to talk about the people because there were some proclamations. But it wasn't just that they met with the mayor. Yeah, you're going to talk about that, Brother William. It wasn't that they just met with the mayor, because some people just have little meetings with the officials, Dr. Ave. They have little, oh, that was nice, I had a meeting. No, they didn't just have little casual meetings. These meetings that they had solidified some things. That means that when the minister travels, he don't always get no police escort. I mean, they blocked off stuff, gave him the dignitary and the head of state escort that he deserves and supposed to get. That's what he got. And then at the awards banquet, now I'm giving you that energy back, Brother William, and tell the people what happened at the awards banquet. I need people to know what the city did and what the state of Wisconsin did at the national training. Now I'm going to turn it back to you. You can hype them back up. And Brother Charles, don't you forget. Yeah, I'm alley up, but Brother Charles said, don't you get out of it and tell about that history of Milwaukee. That's some other stuff deep in Milwaukee. I got to get y'all in it because that, Dr. Ava, this experience was so exciting that the people need to know what happened because people don't understand. And I shut up. Minister Farrakhan hasn't been anywhere except for Mas Marion. Then he did a Stephanie Mills in Benton Harbor. He had a site, but he ain't been nowhere. But he decided to be in a car and travel over three hours to Milwaukee and then drive back. That's how much and how important, because the minister is the Messiah, so he don't just travel anywhere. There were so many things he could have gone to in the last 2 years, and he showed up here. This is very significant.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that alley-oop, brother. I'm going to try to dunk it, all right? So, first of all, that banquet was off the chain. The entertainment was just top-notch. And of course, Brother Terrence was the spirit. Brother Terrence was the spirit of the conference. He opened up the conference, and he was the spirit of that banquet as well. So he was kind of downplaying his own significance. But the county executive, Brother David Crowley, he's a brother as well, gave a proclamation to Grand Master Aziz, Abdul Aziz Muhammad. The mayor of Milwaukee gave a proclamation to Brother GM, and he also declared it Grand Master Abdul Aziz Muhammad Day. So, you know, that was very significant, and that was a very powerful moment because I don't know that another city has given our GM a day, right, a declared it a day in that city. And then, of course, our state senator, Lena Taylor, also gave a proclamation to Brother GM. So there were three proclamations, one from the state of Wisconsin, one from the county of Milwaukee, and one from the city of Milwaukee, and, of course, the declaration of Grandmaster Abdul Aziz Muhammad Day. So those were very powerful moments, and, of course, the believers that were at the banquet were very excited about it. And, of course, GM was very shocked because he didn't know that those things had been arranged for him. Is that good, Brother Terrence?
That's all right. But let me just tell y'all this, that proclamations are not something that everybody gets, no matter you come in that city or not. And they didn't give, Dr. Ava, they didn't give the paper proclamation. They gave the hardwood, which they had to go send out to get made, print up, and they couldn't mess up the spelling because that was on the metal of the wood that they made. So they had those real hardwood that you hang up on your wall proclamation, not the ones you got to go get a frame for and put it up and put it in a folder so you don't mess it up. They had the real kind of proclamation. It was three of them, heavy ones. I had to hold them. That's what I'm saying. And cities don't just give proclamation just because you want somebody to give a proclamation. That means that it has to get approved, get stamped. And not only did the senator come there, she said she loves Farrakhan. And I'm saying the day of social media, you putting yourself out there, you trying to get reelected. She said that the FOI helped her in her campaign, went door to door with her. So I'm just saying that these people recognize the nation and the love because of the work that they're doing in Milwaukee. That love was extended to Brother Abdul Aziz. And that's why I'm saying that for them, because Milwaukee has to take some credit for the relationship that they built that afforded us to get and receive what we're receiving, even though Brother Abdul Aziz did put this on. If the relationship wasn't there, it may be like it was in 2015 where the cops said, we're going to arrest you if you come.
Yeah.
That wasn't the relationship when we got there this year.
All praise is due to Allah.
Now, talk to us about the minister when
he came
and what he said and how everyone reacted and what that was like.
You know, the minister is so beautiful. And, of course, when he came, we all received him and whatnot, but he wanted to watch the demonstration and observe the demonstration because, from what I understand, he loves to see the techniques and whatnot. And Brother Charles, you might know a little bit more about it because you've been at more of the trainings and been more involved. But the words that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us, you know, it's very powerful words. And Sister Ava, you raised some of them, you know. And the minister said, like for example, the burden of sin has to be cast off of us.
Right.
And even though it's difficult at this time for us to cast off that burden of sin, that is the challenge that Allah, God, is offering us today. And if we are successful, then we will receive his divine favor. If we could just cast off the burden of sin to become God. He talked about being patient, right? And how patience is a virtue that must be acquired. And we're not born with it, but without it, we can never achieve the greatness of God that is within each and every one of us. He talked about the value of the female and how the female is, you know, he talked about the nature that we're created. And there's no altering the nature, right? So he began to talk about the man wanting to be a woman and a woman wanting to be a man, but that's not something that can actually be done. You can't alter the nature of God. He talked about every time we walk away from the discovery of ourselves, we delay the power of our own growth into ourselves. So he was encouraging us to be ourselves because ourselves are righteous because we come from Allah. He was very encouraged by what he saw of the grand masters and their teachings. And he expressed the fact that he felt rewarded and assured that his work was not in vain because he could see and he was thanking Allah that they have discovered their gift. But the greatest part of it is that they're sharing what they know and what they have discovered with others. So I know they had to make the martial artists feel just wonderful.
Yes.
For the minister to confirm them like that and to let them know that it made him happy because his work is the resurrection of our people. He's carrying a whole nation on his shoulders. His work is not in vain. But Charles, did you have some other things that you wanted to add?
Well, to Mr. William, you laid it out perfectly. I mean, when you said that when he told us just to be ourselves, I mean, that's key for me and for those who I have spoken to, who have been giving me feedback on the national training. But you know, the minister had said some years ago that about Milwaukee that he felt that when we're up and running, that we would run ahead of the rest. He didn't say that we would be how long we would be ahead, but he said that we would be a good prototype for our nation. So what we took those words very seriously, and we did everything that we thought would be pleasing to the minister and those who visited. But the minister he knows that the national training, it encompasses more than just martial arts. Even though that's one of the highlights of the training, he knew, he asked questions, well, what is the youth? Well, how is the youth involved? So we kicked off a Thursday event with the youth, which Student Minister William may want to get into that a little bit more on how we kicked it off that Thursday. But there is so much to the national training other than the martial arts that the minister wanted to know about and inquired about. He wanted us to hit on things that he has been teaching us over the years and that is good for our people. I mean, we had workshops dealing with, you know, the how to survive the first 90 days, how to survive a catastrophic event. We had events centered around active shooter and emergency response. We dabbed into areas of the study material, the struggle for balance. I mean, these presenters just were outstanding, giving these, you know, delivering this information. We dealt with farming as a way of self-defense, and most people don't look at, they look at the physical side of things, but there is another side of self-defense. And so the minister, he's always been deeply concerned about the type of material that is to be presented at the national training. And that's why over the years he has given us his support. He has guided Brother GM and all of us that's on the staff. He has been guiding us all the way. And so the national training, I can't see why a person who says that they are a soldier of Muhammad, you know, and we had a lot of first-time FOI, a lot of first-time MGT who had never attended the national training. And after this weekend, many are saying that, hey, you know, if it's in Milwaukee again, I'll be back. Many have said, I can't see it being held anywhere else. Notice I threw that out there, Student Ms. Webb. I can't see it being held anywhere else. So I'm praying to Allah that, you know, we can host it again next year to make it bigger and better, you know. But some of the areas that we want to focus in on, you know, and there was, which is the youth, you know, conflict resolution was another. I mean, there's just so many different things that the minister had asked to be presented at this national training, and to see him come in, when he walked into the room, Sister Ava. Now, granted, you know, I received him. I was a part of the team that received him when the police escorted him, I mean, right to the door. I mean, they allowed us to pull up on the sidewalk of the convention center at the door, which I've never seen anybody do that before. I mean, I talked to some of the security staff. They said that the president comes through the garage, but they allowed the minister to come through the front door, pulling up on the sidewalk. And when we brought him through, a lot of the believers and guests had no idea that the minister was to arrive. And I'm telling you, in the hallway or the corridor of the convention center, it just erupted. And then when he went in, and of course he came through and came out into the center or the center of the ballroom where the martial arts demonstrations was taking place, and the believers and those who are guests who saw him, it just erupted in the energy. You couldn't help it. I had to contain myself. I'm not going to say what happened, but I had to contain myself in feeling that energy for when the minister stepped out into that room. And then after he witnessed, as Student Minister Williams said, the delivery of the martial artists and the masters from all over, out of the Caribbean, all over the United States, I mean, when the minister spoke, I mean, the rest is, you know, the rest is all, it's all history in the making. And so we made history this week. And I am so, again, I can't help myself. I am so thankful that he showed up. And he kind of alluded to the fact when he told GM that, hey, you know, are we having a national training this year? And he said, brother, you know, I do, you know, I enjoy the national training every year. And And when Jim told him that, you know, there was going to be some competition-type fighting the following Sunday, he says, well, I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, stay for that. I'll see. He said, but, you know, brother, I do like a good fight, you know. And we all kind of, you know, laughed and so forth. But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to give you some of the energy that was coming off of, you know, the Messiah. I mean, he lifted me to a point where I feel renewed, and so many others are renewed, and this was a renewing of our faith. It's a renewing of our work. It's all of that and some. I mean, Brother Terrence, you know, he still have that energy, you know. But I'm telling you, as the days going on, as I marinate and reflect back, I'm getting fuller and fuller by the day. It just didn't start on Thursday, you know, because we're working, you know, all the time, and we're constantly working, trying to make things, you know, the best, trying to be the best host we could possibly be. And, you know, Sister Ava, when you've been in our city for many, coming in and out, you and your husband, Brother Darius, for many years, and you know that we do everything that we possibly can to make you comfortable. Well, we, of course, the same way that we receive you, we were receiving the believers, Student Mr. Williams, Student Captain David Muhammad, Assistant Captain Melissa, and all of the staff here in Milwaukee. We just went up and above, and we had the staff of the convention center. When the minister came, you could hear the staff, I'm talking Caucasian, saying, you know, you guys are not what they say you are. You guys are something different. I mean, I've never experienced anything like this. And what Brother Aziz, the GM, did, he was congratulating and thanking the staff of the convention center for their help. And he actually recognized some of those who were working at the convention center that evening. And some of those staff were saying to me, you know, I've never been recognized by any group at all, and I've been here 15 years. All I do is help with the setting up of the tables and making sure that everything is running smoothly. And what I'm speaking of, Brother Terrence, I'm talking about Brad, you know. Brad.
Of course, Brad.
Recognized. And then there were others, so many others that said they have never been recognized. I mean, the proper handling of people, the treatment, the love that we were showing, the respect that we were showing, the escort that we were showing, this all comes from the minister. And so when the minister walked, when he came into the room, and that energy that went out and went about that room, it just went out through the entire, it was like a tsunami. That's how I felt. It was like a tsunami of energy that went out, and I'm still feeling the aftershocks, the tremors from it. And so now that I'm thawing out a little bit, I'm getting higher and higher and higher. And right now I'm just getting excited. And so I better stop right now because, you know, so when you ask what was it like, sister, it was like when I first witnessed the birth of my children. I can't explain it. Wow. I mean, it's hard to say how it was. If you were not there, if a person was not there to feel it and be a part, it's easy to view it over a video or see it on YouTube and, you know, hear it, you know, via however you're listening to it, via Instagram or somebody may have recorded it with their phone. But to be there and to feel the energy and the molecules that was moving in the room and the way that the minister came in and changed the whole atmosphere. He didn't just change the atmosphere of the convention center. He changed the atmosphere of Milwaukee. And so I want to just say, man, I am so thankful to Allah that I am a member of the Nation of Islam at Muhammad's Mosque number 3, a long-awaited meeting of this type. I could not contain myself. Oh, brother, Student Mr. Wim, you know I have been asking for this for a long time. And so, Sister Ava, again, I mean, Islam, when all things fail, there's Islam. And I'm telling you, we are fighting for Islam, and we will surely win. I'll say it like that. So thank you again for allowing me these few words. I didn't mean to stretch out like that, but see, but
No. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. This program has a long, Brother Terrence would tell you, this is where people come to bear witness. And this is where we gather and draw from one another. All of the magnificent work that is being done in the hells of North America that gets no recognition on so-called mainstream media, or even in so-called black media, which is headed by what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad calls prominent house servants. This is where we come to really share in the joy and show gratitude to the God. And, you know, I look at Milwaukee as a place hiding in plain sight, because I was a little surprised at the number of believers here and laborers and officials who haven't been there before. And, you know, as I said at the beginning of the program, you know, look at the number three. This is the third one. And,
right.
You know, I had Minister Williams send me the history because I didn't have it in front of me. I've spoken on it before. And he sent it to me yesterday, and I shared it with the council. And you could hear a pin drop in the room. You know, they were like, she had children during story time, you know, when I shared how Master Fard Muhammad went there in 1934,
right.
Took his student to Milwaukee to make friends for him, to make a place for him where he could have some measure of safety. Because what had already happened in Detroit was what was starting to happen in Chicago, that his student needed a place of refuge. And that place became number three, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, you know, the history and how Minister Sultan out of Milwaukee, the minister whose name escapes me at number one in Detroit, they traveled together to Washington, D.C. when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was arrested in 1942 on an executive order under the Selective Service Act, because he so-called avoided the draft, though he was too old to serve. And when they followed him there, they got arrested and incarcerated. And ultimately, Mother Clara Muhammad basically took charge of the nation while her husband was incarcerated. And I remember seeing a letter that Mother Clara wrote to the believers, thanking them for their support. Their monetary support and efforts to raise charity. So this, you know, I'd said yesterday, this is a city that, you know, if it was needed at the beginning of the mission, it may be needed again. But what was demonstrated there, and I love that Brother William reminded us of the threat that came up out of Wisconsin during the Justice or Else tour. And the brother who's the curator that spoke at the Project Separation Town Hall, that
Claiborne Benson.
Really, I'm sorry?
His name was Claiborne Benson.
Yes. Oh, my God. He was magnificent. And, you know, to give us, we're in a time when everything's being exposed. The minister said it in the Swan Song. Satan must be exposed. And so you'll
right.
notice that everything about this country is coming out, you know. And now this city, which was really undercover even to the faith community, and now has been made known. There's a reason for that. And the minister, as Brother Terrence said, very, very few appearances in the last 2 years during this time. And it was the minister who urged that Savior's Day, that we have people, you know, you have people who bought into the devil and are scared of a virus, you know, and hiding. And the minister said, we're going back to Master Farid Muhammad. Just do what, just follow what we were given and repent as well. But follow our way of life. Like, that's why he lifted the Amish at Savior's Day. You know, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Do us. And that event this weekend, you know, to me represented like the launching pad of us beginning to return to ourselves and come out from under Satan. And so it was a huge success, and we'll see more of it in next week's final call. But we're so grateful, and the time, when you have a good program like this, the time goes by. But we still want to get to some of our callers who are Yeah.
You know, and Sister Ava, I do want to, I just, you know, when you asked about, you know, the minister, you know, Brother Charles and Brother Williams spoke of it, I just really want people to understand that in this room you have martial artists. And in this room you have grandmasters. You have Soke Little John there. Also, you have people that have legacies. And when the minister comes in, all of them humble themselves to even come greet the minister. These are grandmasters that have school over schools. He talked about Musa, Moses Powell, and how he traveled with him and did security for him. But he said he was a humble, deadly man. You know,
he sure was. I've been witness.
Yes, yes. But every time the minister comes amongst all these grandmasters that are demonstrating and doing the techniques and the minister watches, you know, it was beautiful to see, you know, it was interesting to know that, well, not interesting, you know, the minister wasn't going up on the stage, so we didn't need to pull him up there, put him on the stage. You know, he was going to come out front, and we just let him teach and speak right for where he was. And people, whether they can see him or not, just being in the room, everything got quiet.
That's
everybody
right.
was silent. Everybody
That's
paid
right.
attention. And I didn't even know that when I looked, Sister Naima on one of his sides, Sister National, and then the Student Supreme Captain on his other side. Just looking at our nation, just looking at that. And then, like I said, knowing how he came in and his health and his strength, that when he stood up on that fight song, everything erupted. Everything erupted because I knew that he couldn't stand alone, but he stood strong to sing the fight song, and then strong Allahu Akbar. And I'm just saying that our nation, if you didn't rise off of that, then you just fake flatline, and you just might as well go ahead and go check out, because the minister, if you was down in your energy on anything that was troubling you, when he stood up and sung that fight song, the whole nation, it shook all around the world for us to rise up.
Unfortunately, I had Brother Cartier on, but it dropped. Mm. He may have had the off times. He's a police officer, and he co-hosts with Sister Donna our Project Separation monthly Zoom, and I wanted to get him on. I hope he calls back in, or he's able to call back in. I'll try to get to him. Yeah, it's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Allah willing, he'll get back on. So we'll go ahead and we'll go to Brother Hoyle, one of our top fishermen in the nation, who has a comment on tonight's program. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hoyle.
Well, alaikum salam. I want to just say the brothers are telling the truth, and I want to thank Brother William and Brother Captain and Terrence. I saw it. When the minister spoke and when he said the fight song, you know, it just erupted. I felt the spirit. I had to go help my son move in Nashville, but I was like Allahu Akbar waiting on him at this gas station, and people looking at me crazy. I'm like, I'm looking at it live because Brother Halim might have had the minister live, and I was just. I said, who's this fool in this van? So, hey, my spirit was 100, you know, and one of his quotes was, patience is a virtue that must be acquired. You're not born with it, but without it, you never achieve the greatness of God that is within yourself. And I was just taking notes, and he says, every time you walk away from your discovery of yourself, you delay the power your own growth into yourself. And then he said, the main thing he said, Sister Ava, he said, and brothers bear witness, he said, you must become skilled as fighters. But the first war, the greatest war, is with yourself. So the minister dropped so many jewels and just all of the, I hate I missed some of the main workshops, but Brother Ishmael did a beautiful speech. I just saw it. I just thank you, brothers, for hosting, you know, the minister. And, you know, I've been in Milwaukee, beautiful city, and like you say, Sister Ava Moss, number three, has, you know, a ton of history. And all of the brothers that came from Memphis, they loved it. And the first time, I'm glad that a lot of the brothers and sisters, for their first time, they get to experience this great wealth and the great spirit. So we need all of this is needed at this time. You know, we're in a at the end of the time
very
with the war starting and everything is happening. You know, they had an article in the paper, Sister Ava. I remember you talking about it, saying the time is moving faster. That saying the earth is moving faster than normal.
Yes.
But but the last paper said when the earth throws off its burden. You know, the earth is getting rid of its unwanted burdens. So we're in that time where either you're going to clean up or you're out of luck with us. But I just want to thank you, brothers, and Sister Ava, and thank the brothers for their – and all who went. Brother Terrence, you did an excellent job, as always. And I wanted to say it's more other news, but I'm just let – this is such a beautiful conference. We need to reflect on that. But thank you, and
thank you.
I'm let somebody else talk. And may Allah
thank
bless you all. As-salamu alaykum, family.
You know, Brother Hoyle brought up something very key, and that is the importance of us whenever and wherever we can in these final moments of this cycle of history, because that's all they are, moments now. We're down to that. A statement made by a general and one of the military generals, I can't remember who it was or which branch of the military, but I thought it was so powerful, and I've repeated it often. He said that when a soldier gives his life in battle, he doesn't lay down his life for a flag. He lays down his life for his fellow soldier.
Right. Come on.
The flag is a symbol. It's a symbol. But the reality of the brotherhood is what drives us.
Yes.
And there's nothing spooky. You know,
that's right.
We have to know one another. We have to embrace one another. This is why we've got to get past this all this fear, and I got to stay 50 miles away from you. And this thing came and it revealed the dark underbelly of the United States of America. And now, as the minister said to us, it's time to return to what we were taught by Master Fard Muhammad. Islam is our way of life. This is why separation is necessary, because as long as we live with white people, we will live under white people. That's what he said. And so this coming together that took place, just like all of you, I'm hearing this rejuvenation and this energy and fire.
Yes.
This is what is needed. And we need to latch on to this and take advantage of this. And I was so happy to hear about the mosque because, you know, Brother Terrence, when the brothers and sister were on the other week, when they went to the Grammys in Vegas. Now, you're coming off this glittering billion-dollar event being shown all over the world. Our brother was the first person, a brother in the Nation of Islam, hidden in plain sight, to receive Best Songwriter 2 years in a row, Grammy.
Wow.
They're glittering, they're in gowns and suited and booted. Next morning,
that's right.
Went to the mosque. Went
that's
to
right.
The
Come
mosque.
On. Come on. That's
said,
right.
There's no way we're going to be in Vegas and not go to the mosque. And
that's
so
right.
I loved hearing that
that's
tonight.
Right. Beautiful.
We are all we have.
Come on now.
And not only are we all we have, we are all that black folks have. We are the first, last, and only line of defense.
That's right.
For our people. And so I love what Brother Hoyle just said about the closeness and the nearness and being together. And that's all I'm hearing from everybody I hear from is how overjoyed the brothers and sisters were to see each other, and not only see each other, but, you know, Zoom has its place, Blog Talk, it has its place, but we're a spiritual people, and we're an affectionate, physical, I mean, Allah made a material world, okay, so that there could be contact, and I just wanted to say that real quick, but we're going to get back to the phones. We have Brother... I was hoping Brother got back on, but we also have on the line, I think we have Sister Donna on. I thought I saw her. Yes, because she attended also. Sister Donna, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yep, she did.
I'm feeling like everybody else, and this program just put me right back there. It just put me right back there. So I just wanted to say this briefly. I wanted to thank Student Minister William and Student Captain for their work that they have done in Milwaukee for it to be the experience that we had. I definitely felt their work over the years, not just for that weekend, but it bore witness everywhere we went. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank them. And the things that we took away from the training, and hopefully the recordings will also be available again soon, because there was very serious, timely information presented together, as everybody has expressed. Did feel like Savior's Day, so that's what we kept saying, Happy Savior's Day. But it just further enforces our need to be together all the time, to come together, to live together, to separate out of this environment that we're in. And that was like a glimpse of heaven. It was absolutely a glimpse of heaven. And I did get that rejuvenation. I was so rejuvenated and fired up that I literally drove the almost 10 hours back without changing drivers from Wisconsin to Memphis. Just because of the energy factor. And then speaking when the minister came in, when he stood up for the fight song, I thought Brother Terrence might lose a little bit of hair he may have had left up there. You know, there might be one strand, because with one movement, all of a sudden when the minister stood up, all you saw was just this big surge. Cameras up and a surge forward, because everybody got drawn in to that spirit as the minister expressed. They thought they killed me. But here I stand. It was a declaration, and it was an indescribable feeling of that moment. It was like as if somebody just snapped and said, move forward. Just this surge. So I thank Allah for what we have in the Nation of Islam, everybody that we have, and I look forward to the time when we are all together all the time. It's not a once-a-year thing or an every-six-month thing, but to live together and dwell as brothers
all the time.
And
yes,
sisters.
Ma'am.
This
thank
was
you.
Just a taste of it. So I thank you, and I thank you for elevated places
yes,
in
ma'am.
All of this staff. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Awesome testimony. We got Brother Cartier back, and I just felt it was important, brothers, to have him weigh in because A, he's under 30. He's among our young adults. B, he's a family man. And C, he is a law enforcement officer. All of that as well as being fruit of Islam and co-host of Building Our Promised Land. Very powerful, knowledgeable, and separation.
Down and
I'm Lakeham. I'm sorry,
you,
Dave.
You
I
can
was...
tell it's a police officer. You can
tell. I'm out here. I was going to lunch.
Yes, sir.
My Lakeham salon. I heard it say unmuted, and I went to unmute my end, and I accidentally hung up. But
yes,
I'll be try to be real brief. I wanted to make 2 points. First point, real briefly, was regarding our sister in Russia and the
yes.
importance of separation and the context of us mm. severing the political bands that bind us to this country, because what happened to our sister, I believe, really is more of an affront to the U.S. because of her political policies towards Russia, that they thought they're going to get their lick back by slamming the sister. And because we haven't in America, you know, black people in America haven't really picked a side, taken a stance against what goes on in other countries from our platform here in the U.S., a lot of these countries retaliate in manner. And it reminds me of what the minister said regarding what happened in Vietnam. He said, hey, you know, they were over there telling you same, same. But on the next go around, and they're not going to do that. And we're at that point now. So when they hit the sister with what they hit her with, it was more so because she was a U.S. citizen, I believe, than it being them really wanting to caring about some cannabis oil coming into the country. But on a separate note, I wanted to talk about the law enforcement situation that happened with our sister, Breonna Taylor. I kind of knew that the angle of the prosecution later was going to be the affidavit for the search warrant, because I know, being in this profession, how often these devils lie. I mean, completely and totally lie and circumvent the process. Because I've done search warrants, no knock search warrants. I've been the case agent on no knock search warrants, and the sheer amount of checkpoints you got to go through, if you want to do your duty to tell the truth, man, it took me about 4 months to get all of my intel together to make sure that, you know, I was within the limits and not exceeding the limits. But these devils out here, man, they can get them like that, because they set up buys that aren't, you know, real, or they'll pay their CIs to go in and say they saw something that they didn't see, or say this person is the person who provided the narcotic when that person wasn't even there, and they're just hoping, counting on the brother's going to take a plea deal and he's not going to present evidence that he wasn't present at the time. So I knew that when they talked about that search warrant, I said, man, they're gonna attack the search warrant when the time comes. They're going to parse it and take that angle. But I just wanted us to understand as well that just because there's an indictment, just because there's charges, that's not necessarily justice. Even if there's a conviction, it's not justice. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan told us that justice delayed is justice denied. His sister lost her life in 2020. We knew it was wrong in 2020, and here we are in 2022 just now getting an indictment. So I wanted our people to realize, not to get excited over that, and even if they do get convicted, you know, still our stance has been given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad regarding law enforcement. And I have this article here that I just wanted to read real briefly. It's about two sentences. It's from a Muhammad Speaks article that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did back in 1968, December 6th of 1968. It's printed in Brother Demeter's book from the research team, How to Police the Black Community. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the solution to the police problem was. He said, so remember this, black officer, you and your people could get along in peace together if you take the step to do it and not the steps to please the enemy of you both. Throughout the country, let us take over where we are dominant in the towns and cities and have black officers in control of forcing law upon us. And the operative word there is control. And I believe that as we move forward with this project, that we're going to be able to present something to the broader black community where we'll be able to take that control, more specifically in the training.
and how to police the black community according to the needs of the black community and how they want to be policed. But that's going to be it, and I thank you for your time.
Yes. Yes, I'm so glad we got to hear from you. Yes, sir. And,
That's right.
Always has powerful substance to bring. He's very knowledgeable in the science and process of separation, because that's what the minister stresses to me all the time. It's a process. Everything that's happening is based in science and math. You know, these white people run around talking about the science. They have no idea. They themselves are a scientific experiment. They don't know what they're talking about. They have a 6-ounce brain, and I think there is something to be said for what brother offered regarding the sister over there in Russia. See, we're at that time. We've remained integrated and mixed with them. And so whatever comes down on America is coming down on our head. But we have a number of our people who are starting with registered believers. That's why we have that monthly program. They are buying land. They're buying farmland. They're buying land for development residentially, dairy farms, produce, everything you can think of. It's actually happening now. And so it's critical that we speed this up, because I don't want us to discount what was just said. You know, the world is bucking the United States. The United States got exposed during this pandemic as being incompetent, greedy, wicked, everything else. And she's last just about among nations in handling this situation. The minister warned Africa, don't take the vaccine. And if you read the final call, you will see Africa did not take the vaccine. Only about 6% of the people on the whole continent, black Africans, took that vaccine. And it's driving Bill Gates and the eugenicists to craziness, because that was the primary target. They want that continent and all of its wealth and resources. And had Minister Farrakhan not stood up before this thing came out and warned us and warned the leadership of Africa about this vaccine, it would be a massacre. We still lost a number of people, but it is a fraction of what would have happened if that man had not stood up. And that's how you know God is backing us. Yeah.
That's right.
Because he said that thing was death before they ever got it out of the lab. And he shut the mouth of the national spokesperson for their plan, Alan Dershowitz, that satanic lawyer who was running around America telling everybody that it was legal to come to your house and make you take this injection. He was laying the baits for that. And it was Minister Louis Farrakhan, July 4th, 2020, who not only announced that the vaccine is death, but told Dershowitz and all of these devils, these demons, if you try to force us to take that vaccine and bring your army, it will be a declaration of war against all of us. And they pivoted from threats to giving away donuts and free weed. Go back and check out the timeline and the activity. Or better yet, read the final call.
Right.
So we're coming. We only got about 10 minutes left. I think we'll take one more call because we want our brothers to be able to have some time to make some closing remarks. This has been phenomenal, brother.
I think student David, student Captain David from Milwaukee is on somewhere too.
Oh, okay. Let me look. Okay, 4-4-4. I see. Way down there. Okay. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Can you hear me okay?
I certainly can, loud and clear.
All praises due to Allah. Just echoing what was said by Student Minister William and my big brother, Student Captain Charles.
Yes, sir.
Brother Terrence, you know, he was like, you got to come on the show and just drop something about those letters. I don't know if that's where you want me to go, Brother Terrence, but just very quickly, you know, and I appreciate all that you have said, Student Minister Ava, about Milwaukee, just knowing that, you know, how often you come to the city and what we, you know, enjoy every time you do come, that we believe in the timing of God and that we believe that Allah chose Mosque number 3 for his divine strategy. And it's just beautiful to see it come into fruition now. And like Brother Student Captain Charles said, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came in 1990 and said that Milwaukee had been slower than some of the other cities, but when she gets up and running, she'll run ahead of the rest. We didn't know how that was going to manifest. And having been a young person who grew up in the mosque, we got to see that fulfilled. We saw the man of God's words fulfilled while he's still among us. Additionally to that, when you go over some of the things that Master Farah Muhammad said about Milwaukee, Master Farah Muhammad gave instruction to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on how to move in the city. Effectively, this was his training ground before he took on the bigger mission throughout the rest of the continental United States, moving on to D.C. and the other numbered mosques. But there's so much. And I was just sharing with Brother Terrence how the first time Master Farah Muhammad mentions Milwaukee, he mentions it in a letter, and the name Milwaukee is in all caps. And when I looked at that and I thought about that after this weekend, I was like, oh, my God, is he putting a sign that all captains would at some point have to be in the city for some reason? And there's just so much to it. The hand of Allah was all throughout the event. Thank Allah for being in this dispensation of time to be present, to be a part of this great transformative work.
No, thank you.
As-salamu alaykum. You know, can I kind of go off what Brother David just said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a letter from the Savior to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it's dated January 19th, 1934, and he even has the time. It's 4:30 a.m., right? And he's really chiding the messenger on how he has dealt with his representation in Milwaukee. And he's saying that you gave them a full meal. You can't give. He's referring to them as smellers, right? You can't give them a full meal. You have to speak their language. You know how in our lessons it said you have to speak
That's
the language, right?
Right?
And he said that basically he's saying, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, these are Noble Drew Ali followers. These are Marcus Garvey followers. So you have to speak the language. You have to put some of the teachings in there. And you have to show them that Noble Drew Ali's teachings and Marcus Garvey's teachings were correct, but the mission has not yet been completed, and you have that work to complete, right? So so as Brother David said, it was Milwaukee was kind of the training ground of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I thought that letter was so significant, and I just want to share real quickly an experience that I witnessed with the minister this past weekend. We have a young brother in the mosque who has been in the mosque he got his ex 3 weeks ago. And he was on post outside of Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan's door. And when Brother Mustafa came out, he embraced the brother, he greeted the brother, and he just took to the brother, and he took the brother along with him. So they were now walking. He's walking. This young brother, he's been in the mosque 3 weeks. He's walking now in the security detail with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan back to his car after he spoke with the believers. And so I was there. I was standing behind him, and the minister looked and saw and keyed on that young brother, about 23 years old. And he said, "Come here, brother." And he and Brother Mustafa said, "This brother just got his ex, right?" And the minister took his hand, and the minister said, "Brother, we expect great things from you." And he gave him more guidance. But that brother was on top of the world. And the reason why I felt that it was so significant is because that brother came from the Moore Science Temple, a follower of Noble Drew Ali.
Wow.
I mean, it was so beautiful. And already, even before he got his ex, he was bringing people and fishing into the mosque. And right now, he hired and everybody that's on this call. You saw how excited Brother Charles and all the believers were. But that brother's on cloud nine right now. And I just wanted to share that because, you know, as you said, Sister Ava, there is no coincidence.
No.
And the minister just keyed on that brother's spirit. And he was a Noble Drew Ali father.
Well, listen, we're down to about 3 minutes, and I also wanted to share, and if there's a way, remember a few years ago, you brought the pioneers down.
Yes,
from
right.
Milwaukee. And
right.
We had dinner at the Salam restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Chicago. But that was one of the most memorable occasions. And someone had done interviews with the elders and people who were young, you know, children and teens and young adults in the early days. Is there a record of that people?
You can go on YouTube right now and just Google Milwaukee Pioneers. And one of the sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Pioneers.
She was the granddaughter of Minister Baker. She told the story of how when her grandfather was in prison with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and all the other men, all of the sisters in Milwaukee would go out into the street and collect scrap metal and sell it and send it into Chicago to Mother Claire Muhammad. And that's some of the letters that brother, the great student minister Abdul Salam Muhammad has in our museum. So yeah, there's some wonderful history. Yeah.
Yes. And I was blessed to meet and have a friendship with Mother Cecile Muhammad, who in Milwaukee, remember, she danced with Master Fard Muhammad. At the age of 13, her family was in Detroit at the time. And so
May
Allah be pleased with her. She was still in her 80s, tall, regal. You know, just, it's amazing.
Dark
we probably need a part two. Probably need a part two, the history of Milwaukee. So brothers and sisters who are listening, that's on YouTube, Milwaukee Pioneers, because I'm going there as soon as we go off. But I want to thank student, Brother Captain Charles Muhammad, and then student Captain Brother David, who came on at the end with some jewel information. And, of course, our longstanding and powerful minister, student minister there, William Muhammad. I want to thank Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, Sister Pamela Muhammad, all for helping, and the whole Elevated Places team for making this program possible. We're in our 10th year here on blogtalkradio.com. And those callers I was not able to reach, I am sorry, but I know you are full from the witnessing to what took place this past weekend. May Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.